Welcome back to the second day of Giving Way to Grace, Chrysalis Emerging, Conscious Living, Conscious Dying. For us who are attending the conference live stream, it's really been quite a full plate for us. And we also realize that our gathering yesterday was very packed full with offerings that could stir a lot within ourselves on top of what we came with before starting the conference. And so for those of you that were here yesterday, we thank you, and we are very grateful that you've come back today to just be with us again. And our intention for today is to help us unpack what was so packed from our session yesterday. And for those of you who weren't there yesterday, I urge you to review the recordings that you will receive in about a week of the whole conference, and review the recording of our yesterday's workshop if you weren't here yesterday. I just want you to know that as we packed so much in yesterday's gathering, yesterday's workshop, typically I would, there was enough material there to cover for a whole day, the workshop. So I thank you for being good sports and just being with us again. I would also like to once again reintroduce my collaborators, Carol Schoaf and Catherine Blackburn, both of whom are end-of-life doulas. So, Laura, do you mind just taking this first slide away so that we can see each other's faces? Welcome again, all. Yes, can you hear me? Okay, very good, very good. And also, thank you, Laura, and all the techs who have made this possible. And thank you to you participants who have the patience to just bear with us as we all grow together with Zoom. So I would like to just take a few minutes of centering breathing, just to help bring us to this time and place and back into our bodies. Yesterday, we did a few breathing exercises between the workshop and again, the keynote that I offered last evening. So I'd like to just bring us into centering. Put your hands on your bellies, and let's just take slow and easy breaths. And this is going to be shorter than yesterday. In and out through the bellies, in and out through the mouth, circular breathing. Eliminating any pauses between inhale and the exhale. Filling those lungs with air and feeling that diaphragm pushing down into your belly. Bringing your hands up as you breathe in, and once you get into this rhythm of breathing, I invite you to remember what state you were, how you were, in your heart, in your mind, in your body, as you entered the conference on Friday night. Remember how you felt in your heart. Remember the questions that you carried into the conference. And bring that into your body, imagining how that burden or those questions or those yearnings landed in your body. And I invite us to imagine a living sculpture of that state of mind, heart, and body. What it felt like and what it would look like if you were to create a living sculpture. As you continue to take slow and easy breaths into that belly, holding that picture of how you were entering the experience of the Sacred Gateway Conference. And just allow the rays of light that have shined through this conference enter and shine light into this living sculpture. And when it feels complete, of how it was when you entered the conference, gently come back to your body. Gently open your eyes and come back to this room and say, I am here now. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back into this time and place. Welcome back to our bodies incarnated at this time and space. For those of you who came a little late, just want to welcome you once again to the second day of this workshop. And wanting you to know that we realize that there's been a lot packed into yesterday's workshop, as well as what we've all gone through this conference. And we are going to create a sacred space here for this next hour or so for us to process and digest this full plates that we have. There were many questions from yesterday, many comments, and I'd like to begin with just addressing some of the comments and concerns. there were many questions about breathing and why, well, just a lot of curiosity about breathing. I am really not an expert in breathing, although I am I'm receiving my training in transformational breath, quite a new student at that. But I've really found that this tool of transformational breath conscious breathing has really been a very elegantly simple and very effective tool. If we look at the traditional books like the Bible, in the Old Testament, God breathed life into man. And so we have a clue there that there's something important in breath. In the New Testament, for those who are Christians, there's mention of using breath and air, or that the breath and air is the medium of the Holy Spirit. It is the medium of being present. And I'm certain that in many other traditional books of wisdom that there is focus on the importance of breath. And so, as I mentioned yesterday in the keynote, the breath is very closely linked to the autonomic nervous system that allows us to modulate the fight and flight response, as well as the rest and digest response, the relaxation response. And at any moment in time, we are either in one or the other end of this polarity. Most of the time we're right in the middle, trying to bring to balance as we receive what's coming from outside or within us. And if anybody else wants to know about the breath, feel free to look at the resources that I mention in my bibliography, namely heartmath.com. They talk extensively about breathing, mostly focusing on the heart breathing. Somebody asked me about where does freeze fall into this breathing this breathing model. In my understanding, freeze is what happens when we're, it's almost like a paralysis, when we're caught up in that hamster wheel of triggered fight and flight response. And somehow we freeze there. I did extensive work in my family practice in Pennsylvania on studying the autonomic nervous system as related to the blood pressure and heart rate and breathing. And there's this part where it's as if the gas pedal, so if you associate the gas pedal with the sympathetic nervous system, the stress fight and flight system, versus the brake system, which would be the rest and relaxation system. There's actually a state that has been observed when both the gas and the brakes are on, which can be quite dangerous physiologically when this happens for a long time. So I would think that it seems to me that this freeze comes from the hamster wheel fight and flight, but something happens where both gas and brakes go on at the same time and kind of freeze you there. That's my simple way of explaining. So somebody also asked me about being careful, that Steiner warned us against the old traditional ways, and wondered if the old traditional ways of breathing was a danger for anthroposophists. I would, my take on that is that I think what's most important is the consciousness with which we approach a technique or a tool. And so if we approach, let's say, the old traditional art of Tai Chi or old traditional art of yoga, I think it's important to be very conscious of the stream of which that tradition was introduced, the mindset of that stream. And of course, as modern day Westerners, we do have the freedom of taking in the tool from the old and engaging it with our new consciousness, breathing into the old a new breath. So personally, I do not I do not wall myself off from tools that may have come from ancient wisdom. I breathe the ancient wisdom along with what has been breathed into me. I don't know if that may help you in your process, whoever asked that question, but I'm just offering how I engage with these many rich traditions that come our way. And certainly, as Patrick mentioned, reminds us, we are the sacred gateway. The sacred gateway is not, in my mind, one that closes things off. The sacred gateway, with our consciousness, evolved consciousness, and our evolved presence, opens this door wide open so that we can be prepared to welcome whatever comes our way. And this does require an inner strength, an inner courage, and an inner trust. I hope that helps. Another big question, in fact, the first comment that was made was about how do we transform grief to joy? After viewing the video on the home funeral we had here for Wayne, which was very uplifting, there was a question: is that real? Is it Pollyanna? So I'd like to invite my dear friends Carol and Catherine to please unmute yourself and respond to this question. And maybe while you unmute yourself, Laura, could you bring up the second slide, please? There you go. Carol?
Am I unmuted?
Yes, you are.
Because it said the host had to do it. So I wanted to share a piece of art illustration by Mary Engelbreit, who is someone who I have I've just been in awe of her for probably 40 years. Have followed her along. And she posted this particular piece on Instagram last week that says, "The winds of grace are always blowing, but you have to raise the sail." And it is written by, that writing is so tiny there at the bottom, Sri Ramakrishna. So I just wanted to share this with you just, and she has graciously given me permission to use this because it is sort of a metaphor for how we are transforming the grief into joy by raising the sail, by being able to take what comes and transform it. And therefore I'm going to share just a little bit about how the 3-day vigil for both of my parents, a year and a half apart, was completely transformative for me. And Patrick addressed that this morning in a beautiful way of saying that in the vigil, we are really gifting the departed by honoring them with our presence to them. It's not about us, even though we're sad and we have a myriad of emotions going on at the same time. But if we truly spend those 3 days, which luckily I was able to do because they were, the first death was in my parents' home and the second death in our home, I could go in there any time I wanted to, play my violin, pray, sing, talk. I was honoring them through this presence. And therefore, at the end of those 3 days, I was ready to let them, their physical bodies, go off. I knew their souls was off into doing what they're meant to do on the other side. And therefore, my grief was transformed into joy. And I know that in this time of the virus here, not everyone has the ability to have a 3-day vigil with the body present. I still think that the 3-day vigil, if it is honored and done in spirit only, is also able to transform the grief into a joy. And I'm not suggesting that this grief is all of a sudden finished in 3 days. Of course it's not. But the fact that we are allowing our loved ones to do their work, you're in a new state with that, which is, I'm grateful for. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Catherine?
And when I think about transforming grief into joy, at first I was thinking about how my life has mirrored that, and the experiences of death that I have had with family members, and that I spoke about how it all seems so cold and impersonal. And then when I entered Melinda's home as a end-of-life doula and saw Steiner's way and what he had to offer for all of us to see it in a different way, it just really felt right with me. And I saw it as a new paradigm. I saw it as glorious and unique. And I thought about how that is what we have learned through Christianity with the removing from death and the crucifixion to the resurrection, which is what Jesus Christ has brought to us so that we can move into that. For example, the choices we make about how to solve a problem, and we've always in the past have gone to war, but what if we moved from war and death and the crucifixion to the resurrection? Wouldn't that not be a different way to solve a problem, so that we're moving into diplomacy and the group resolving issues together, like gaining a consensus? So it's a beautiful way to let go of it's all about me and think about the group. The power of the group is another way of stepping into the higher energies. Also, when we've been breathing, and Melinda said yesterday about worry, just to and how some people are raised where the parent worries about the child all the time. My husband was present, and that was so a reflection of his history, so that he continues to worry all the time. But through the breathing, we became conscious of you cannot worry and breathe at the same time. And that breathing, I saw it as moving through constriction and into an expansion. And that expansion to me is like the resurrection and like joy, which is so much of what we've heard yesterday and this morning with Patrick about the expansion of the soul is what really living is, so that you have the connection of consciously living and consciously dying. So I found these ideas just magnificent to see how they reflect in me with my own evolution of the past and the present in my relationship to death. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura, could you take off this slide, please, so we see each other? And I'd like to invite all of us I'd like to hear from the rest of you about your reflections on what we've just laid out for us. So please just raise your hands, and Laura then will spotlight you.
Yeah, and you're able to unmute yourself now. So if you'd like to share, please do that. And if you're someone that hasn't shared throughout the session yesterday, it'd be great to hear from you too. I always want to make sure everybody's getting equal space. So, don't be shy.
Yes. So, where are you in your journey of transforming your grief into something else?
Can I speak? Is it time?
Yes, Susan, please.
Thank you. So I reflected back the rest of the day. And I just wanted to say that in no way was I trivializing. I hope you didn't think that. This idea of a stiff upper lip and Pollyanna, they're not equal for me. They're very different themes that come up. But as I think about things, as we work together, holding the hope is the theme that comes for me, that I do believe others would hold the hope for me, and that I could help hold the hope for others during these transition times, in case faith is still catching up to hope, or truth is still trying to catch up to hope. So I'm hoping that would be understood as I could rest into that, knowing that others were holding that hope for me.
Yes.
I don't know if that makes sense or not. You look like you have a question.
Oh, God. No. That is so beautiful, Susan. Thank you so much for saying that. I have to remember that not everybody experiences this joy. I do. And it took me 6 months, but it was 6 months, I don't know, almost to the day when I laid grief aside very deliberately and very consciously. And that was because I discovered it in the middle of meditation, and that I understand that I have a higher consciousness and a lower consciousness. And that has been described during the course of our talks here. But I discovered it then, really very concretely in myself, that when I was meditating, I was not grieving. And when I woke up to that, I said, I'm wasting my time remaining in grief. But not everybody has that. Not everybody, and I have to remember that. And I so appreciate your speaking to that, because we're all at a different point of experience with meditation, period. And what and meditation puts us, as Patrick has said so often, we're on the earth, and there's a seed, and then whether the seed grows or not takes time. And I have to remember, and I do remember, and you expressed it so beautifully. Not everybody has the years of meditation that I've had, and not everybody recognizes what they can do with that in themselves. And to wake up to that is a wonderful moment, and I will consciously carry you and those who may not know it yet, but it's there waiting for you, because it's for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you.
So my name is Rose, and I was not here yesterday. So I'm new to the group, and I'm understanding a little bit of what you talked about, what Patrick talked about today, this morning. He said that if you don't grieve, it comes out later. And I guess I just wanted to put that out there in case it was discussed yesterday. When my father passed away suddenly, and my daughter was just about 16 months old. And so it was hard to find time to grieve. And, you know, it was very conscious, but it was consciously saying, okay, not now. Be in the joy of being a toddler and providing everything, and being in the moment. But I found like I didn't really have time to grieve appropriately. And so now it's been 12 years, and I feel like things are a little less intense. But I was wondering if you could speak to that, or maybe I'll be able to watch it when the videos come out.
Yes, I'd like to, well, first of all, welcome, Rose. Thank you for sharing and offering your thoughts and questions. I gave myself permission to allow the tears to flow whenever they would. And I think that I sensed it was a very good thing that I gave myself permission. And as recently as last week, when I commemorated 1 year of my husband's passing, I found myself really sobbing even, although it's been an amazing year for me. And then, believe it or not, yesterday, as I was watching the film with you, I realized how tender I still was in places. And I think for me, the grief didn't just go away all of a sudden at a certain point. It's layers and layers and layers and layers. And giving myself permission to be in the layer I'm in accepting, forgiving, and choosing to be compassionate about wherever it is I am, whichever layer I am experiencing. I trust that it's all part of what is to be. And now I'd like to approach your question from the point of view of a physician, because I'm really, my calling is not to just make a discomfort comfortable again, because as you well know, in conventional medicine, we do that very well with medications, with surgeries, which are all wonderful when used appropriately. But from early on in my career as a physician, there was always this nagging within me as I started to just use the tools that I was taught in conventional medicine. And that yearning was really, now I look back at it and I see it more clearly. It was really this yearning to get to the bottom, the root cause of what people came to me for, whatever it was that was ailing them. And you spoke, Rose, about being able to stall your grief. And that is a very, very helpful tool, a very helpful, natural way of just pushing an intense and poignant emotion or issue or experience aside. But I think that tool is important, or that mechanism is important, only if we do use it as a stalling mechanism to come back to it and honor the pain and honor the grief. And it sounds like you did, Rose. But for those of us who never allowed ourselves and gave ourselves permission to feel the pain and to be with it, oftentimes what I've seen as a physician is it manifests physically. And I'm not speaking of psychosomatic issues. I am speaking about, let's say, diabetes or disease processes that we are vulnerable to because of our DNA. Those can be triggered when we do not tend to our pain. And I also see pain or suffering that arise not just from those chronic diseases, but accidents that, you know, traumatize the body. And wow, how interesting, it lands in the right lower back. Why there, you know? And so these unresolved, unintegrated issues, griefs, pains, do somehow land in the body. And I must say that I don't see this as a judgment. I just see it as the body has messages for us. And if we were given the body as a vehicle with which we live our human life, and if it is true that we are here for a purpose and we are here in our human life to find that purpose and live out that purpose, we will be given, we are given reminders and or tips or nudgings, and that may come in the form of thoughts, of emotions, or bodily symptoms. And it's helpful to approach these nudgings, sometimes not so comfortable nudgings, but they certainly catch our attention, to engage with these nudgings as life's way of inviting us to come back to center, because somehow we've wandered off from our center. So I guess I've kind of gone even further off from your offering, Rose, but I hope that will stimulate some more discussion as we continue to unpack what was stirred up or was packed too tightly yesterday. I'm eager to hear from you.
Thank you. I think that's exactly kind of what I had. It answers the question perfectly.
Beautiful. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so anybody else want to share?
There are a few more people that had unmuted themselves to speak. So I want to make sure that Anne gets to speak, and then Tuesday meditation. And then there are a couple more, but let's start with Anne and Tuesday meditation. I don't know who that is.
I just wanted to introduce myself. I also was not here yesterday, but I was very interested in your talk that you gave, Melinda, and wanted to come. And I maybe can share a few experiences I've had. I gave birth at home. I've been with my mother, held her in my arms as she passed, and I recently experienced the passing of someone that I was very close to. It was a sudden passing, and I took up a 3-day vigil for that person and walking with them. And all of those experiences all together have really shown me that everything that we're talking about is just so real. It's utterly real. Mm-hmm. And I could give more detail. Maybe a few things. Just when my daughter Robin was born at home, a whole flock of robins came and settled themselves on a tree outside the window and stayed there for her entire birth, which was just 6 hours. And when she was born, I was purple and she was purple. It was just such an amazing experience of that sacred gateway. Mm. When my mother died, I was holding her in my arms, just had her body against mine. And the last look in her eyes was one of complete wonder. And what had preceded that was not easy. But at the moment of passing, this look passed into her eyes of complete wonder. It was a communication. I really felt a very clear one. And then also with the people, the person who was not, who passed suddenly, and for whom there really wasn't any ritual. I realized I was the only person in my family who could walk with them. And so I did that for 3 days. And at the very close of that time, this person came to me in a dream and very clearly indicated that he was moving on into another sphere. Just very clear. So I just want to share those things.
Thank you, Anne. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Peggy. And I have the honor of being here because my sister is the one, what is this saying? Okay. I'm on. I had the honor of being that I didn't expect to be on this conference, and what it has given me is a new, totally new way of looking at my past. I thought that, and it doesn't change the past or change the quality of the past. My sister was born on my second birthday, and those of you who've been in this conference for any reason would know Maureen Tolman Flannery. And her poetry is very well known. And so I can say how proud I am of being her elder sister. But with this particular experience, I grieved a thing with that was about an living experience. I became on the Isle of Iona in meditation, and I'm very Irish. Quinn is Irish, and we have one side of my family is. And so the meditation process that I do now is very much improved, and is, you might have seen the body going back and forth. It's a meditation that is in total harmony with this, what we've heard, Ben, from Patrick and my sister, because I had an experience that I was in intensive care. I wasn't expected to live. You know, I can go on and on about this story that broke 14 bones, and the pain that I'm in now has nothing to do with that experience when I wasn't there. Nobody knew, but the first thing was told by my son, Dean. I had three children, all natural childbirth. And so I want to say that the power of communication is totally transformed now in my life because of a person who is working with me with the meditation. And that's her name is, she's a housemate, but she's a housemate for over a year. And now it's more and more solid because my husband, who I love, but wow, I didn't know what love was until now the three of us meditate practically every single day. And we are in a transition of the coronavirus. My second child, my son, is going to a hospital, and we live with his children and his wife and my son, Dean. This huge family on an acre and a quarter in Boulder, Colorado, being isolated. And that's the gift of the coronavirus that I heard so much from this conference. And Melinda, oh my gosh, I didn't know you at all. And I totally know you because I chose not my sister's conference, but for some reason, like we'd say, unknown God brought me to your conference. Thank you. I'll stop talking now.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Barbara?
Well, I just wanted to say, are there some suggestions for effective ways of grieving? Is it meditation? What are some ways that we can properly grieve someone? I have a friend who was part of our study group who suddenly died just with, I don't know, within weeks of when he found out he was ill. And I don't know if I've properly grieved his passing. I think of him from time to time, but just a question of how can that be fuller?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Barbara, for that question. Yes. I'd like to start by viewing the next slide, please, Laura. Maybe that will help a little bit. Also, of course, grieving is different for all of us, right? The next slide. The other one, the next one. Thank you. Yes, yes. So this picture may inspire something to you, Barbara. And this is a beautiful piece by Brian Kershisnik. She will find what is lost. And I know that when we acknowledge and honor our pain, that somehow each of us does find what is lost. Now, the way to that is different for each of us. Meditation is very helpful for many. Very, very helpful is, you know, as Susan mentioned earlier, the importance of community. When we are in a place where we can't see the hope so well and our faith seems to fail us, we need others to hold that vision for us. And by the way, this is what I also do in my work with Chrysalis, is when people come broken, it's really important for somebody to hold that vision of wholeness for them. And so we all need that from one another. Now, there are some books that I would like to offer, and they are in my bibliography. Unattended Sorrow by Stephen Levine, and The Presence Process by Michael Brown. And he weaves in breathing meditations. For me personally, it's been very, very important not just to honor and care for my mind and my heart, but to also allow all of that to ground into my body. For all those years that I was working as a family physician, you know, one would think that for one who helps people, you know, care for themselves, care for their health, that, you know, we would know all about the body. And it wasn't until I paused almost 30 years later doing that, that I realized that I myself was so disconnected from my body. I had done a lot of you know, mental work preparing to be a doctor. And it seemed like my drive to be there, although very well intentioned, but driving my physical body to serve people, I hadn't realized how disconnected I was from my body. And since that time, I have given myself the permission to come to know my body and express a lot of what, you know, I was thinking, feeling, and allowing it to incarnate in my body, being more mindful of specifically where these thoughts and feelings land. And I find that the breath is a wonderful vehicle that we can observe that brings together the physical, the emotional, the intellectual, and the spiritual all together. So that's what's worked for me. I hope that helps a little. Does that do anything for you, Barbara?
Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome. So I would thank you for your sharing. Is there anybody else who would like to quickly share before we get into our breakout sessions? Because I realize that there may be some of you who may be, you know, a little shy to share in a big group that is recorded. But I'd like to save some time for that. So is there anybody else before we break that has this urging, yearning to share in the big group? Laura, do you see anybody interested in their 2 cents worth?
I don't see anybody that hasn't shared.
Okay.
Yet. I wanted to share one thing, if that's okay. I don't usually do that.
Please, thank you.
but Melinda was actually, we go way back and have just met again after a long period of time. But my mother passed, and it took me about 17 years to start to process what happened, because if there's trauma related to the death, I think that is something that we haven't really touched on. And she didn't die. She died from cancer, so it was sort of like a normal death. But there were so many circumstances around it, and my age, you know, I was 26. And so I think taking those other factors into account, like how old you are when it happens, what that process of dying is like, I didn't have any of this spiritual understanding that I do now. So it took me really until I started planning this conference 3 years ago, and I was terrified because I had such a fear of death in myself, and I was carrying some ancestral stuff too, because her mother had died when she was 9 or 10. So I just want to say there are many complexities to it, and there might be more to the picture than there was more to the picture than I thought. So I find that when my eldest was 9, I got an injury, and now I have another child that's going to turn 9, and I hurt myself again. So there are lots and lots of layers, and I think it's okay just to accept that the healing process can take a long time. You may be working through the person who died, their understanding of loss or fear of loss and their death that you may have carried with you. So I just think there's a lot there, and that I'm not going to be upset with myself that finally at 19 years now, I'm like, oh, I got it. I see you, Mom. We're cool. I'm glad you're feeling good now. You've gone through your stages. It's okay. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Laura. And I know that there is a reason, a very specific reason, that we're back in touch again after so many years. So see how It's just layers upon layer upon layer upon layer. So I would like to invite us to go into our breakout rooms, and specifically, I invite us to just share whatever is emerging for you out of our conversation, or whatever has, you know, caught your attention and awakened something in you during the conference. This time we will have 15 minutes longer than we had yesterday. And as you share what is emerging from you, I'd like you to start to think about the new living sculpture that you are emerging into now. At the beginning of our hour, I invited us to remember how we were feeling, how we might have been feeling. Could have been something like this or some such sort. And just, I'd like you to just start to see from the periphery, perhaps, this emerging new living sculpture within your being during these 15 minutes. So let's break out in groups of four for 15 minutes, and we'll see you in 15.
That's great. And it'll be groups of four or five is what I see that I can do here. And if you're super shy, you are, of course, welcome to stay in this room, but we really invite you to go into the breakout room. So just accept that. I'm going to have to unmute everybody before you accept the invitation. So it's just going to get a little noisy. And please try to make sure in your room that everyone has equal sharing time. And it's also okay to go into the room and say, I'm just going to listen for today. That's also okay. So just to give yourself permission for all that. Okay. I'm going to, and the breakout rooms are not recorded, just so you know. Okay, yes. I'm going to unmute everybody. And wait, hang on, let me create the rooms. And I'll unmute all, it's gonna get a little noisy. And here you go. Please just accept the invitation when you see it show up. Good job, everybody. You're doing it. Okay. Hey, Sarah, do you want to be in a breakout room?
Yeah.
You do? Do you? I can assign you to one.
Sorry.
Okay, that's okay. You were here. Were you here most of the time?
I was. You know, on my computer, I don't have a mic or a camera, so now I just have my phone, so.
Okay, I'm going to put you in a group, okay?
Okay, I was, like, assigned to group two, but I,
I'll put you back in there.
Okay, thanks.
You see that? There you go.
Can you see well enough? Can you see my feet? Laura?
Yeah, we can see your feet. And I just want you to say one more time what you're going to do right now.
I'm just going to share briefly my new living sculpture, or from the first sculpture of how I was before the conference. So I was in this mode, and I came to this mode, and now here's my new gesture. So anybody else like to share their gestures or their new living sculptures? And you can do that from your seat or through your hands. Just to reflect and embody your own transformation through this. So, yes, Catherine, yes. Yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes. Just focus on others who want to share, please. We have just a few more minutes. Yes.
If you can unmute yourself, that'd be helpful, and just speak, and then I can spotlight you. Yes, Peggy,
like
sister?
To share.
Okay.
Daryl. So initially it was like,
thank you. Sandra.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I think I'm going to show it with my hands. In the beginning, I was contracted with fear and questions, and then I slowly opened to receiving. Thank you.
So beautiful. Who else? Please unmute yourself and speak.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I am laying stepping stones on the threshold of the sacred gateway.
Thank you, Bart.
So I was at the beginning just peeking in, and now I really want to look all the way.
Thanks, Barbara.
So this is Malia.
Hi.
Hi. So in the beginning, I was questioning, and now it's aha.
Thank you. These are beautiful sharings. Who else?
This is Linda.
Go ahead, Linda. Hang on, let me find you here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm just spotlighting you. There you go, Linda. Go ahead.
So I was actually poised with one foot in the fountain and the rest of me behind. And now my hands are open and gesturing.
Thank you. Anyone else?
So when we're done sharing, I would like to go on to the last slide, please.
Okay.
And go. Unmute yourself, Carol. The next slide. Yes. Unmute yourself, Carol, and please read the poem on fear.
Okay. This is a beautiful illustration that was done by my dear friend, Pamela Dalton, who was a participant in our conference last year up in Harlemville, New York. And it says, if you can read along with me, this is from her book, Canticle of the Creatures by St. Francis. And though we often fear her, we praise you for our sister death, who will usher us at last into your loving presence, where we will know and love you as you have always known and loved us.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you, thank you. And we can turn that slide off and just want to thank each and every one of you for with courage walking this road with us and creating this sacred space for the processing and digesting and allowing what is emerging in our midst. Thank you so much for sharing your compassion, your love, your questions, your doubt, your grief, your joy. Blessings to all of you. Thank you. Thank you.